Whether you have agreed, disagreed, loved, hated, appreciated, or not, being quarantined at home with your families, or perhaps by yourself, the fact of the matter is that it's happening out there and it's affected us all. Among other things, I've had the opportunity to hear more of what my children talk about all day. And I've learned a lot. There have been thoughtful insights such as, "Dad, how does a potato become a professional?" Or, "Dad, Owen wants to ask Alexa how zebras make babies." Can hear the culprit of that one right there. Then there's, "Shrimp, more shrimp, Asher, we need more shrimp." That was a fishing game, not a dinner request. Hey, I ask Owen, "Hey Owen, you want to lead songs tomorrow?" "No, my hands are not that clean." That one was during dinner, sadly. And for those of you that are familiar with the X Factor, Xander, I found out this week that there aren't too many things in life that will get me up out of a chair and outside faster than seeing Xander smiling and holding an aluminum baseball bat right next to the van. I didn't know that we had an aluminum baseball bat, but he found it. I've heard fighting, I've heard bickering, I've heard crying, I've heard laughter. I've seen brothers helping each other, I've seen brothers hugging. We've sung hymns together in our bedroom. And there we have been for weeks and weeks and now weeks. But it has been our reality, the state that we all find ourselves in. So, like almost all circumstances that we come across, what can we learn from this? What can we draw from this situation? How might we grow? What lessons are out there, perhaps right in front of our faces? In today's first split, let's take a look at a few lessons that I and probably some of you have learned over the last several weeks. The first thing that I have learned is that my family is super annoying. Just kidding, just seeing if they're listening, they still are. Usually it's about this far in that they tune out. Liz has called me annoying far more times than I have thought it about her. That's a true story. The real lesson or thought number one is we need a shepherd. Most people can't feed themselves. I fall into this category. If the grocery stores close down, I have exactly zero crops growing on my land, or the bank's land. I am certainly dependent upon being able to purchase food from someone else. In college, I survived on microwaved eggs and Totinos. And I was even skinny then. Now I rely on my wife to cook for me. And I'm not so skinny, so what's the connection we can make from that? I'm going to dig myself a hole. There's a reason that God compares us to sheep so many times throughout the Bible. Humankind as a whole and his little flock, the church. Let's start over in Jeremiah 50 and verse 6. Jeremiah 50, just read one verse, verse 6. "My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountains to hill. They have forgotten their resting place." This has always been true of people because God just told us so, but this is especially true today. Going through a drive-thru two or three times daily is sadly a way of life for so many now. Or maybe they'll decide to cook for themselves and microwave a TV dinner. Sheep need to be shown where to find food. As a society, we have absolutely fallen into this trap. Food is funneled to us. We often have no idea at all where it's from or even what's in it. We are officially, as a whole, sheeple at this point. Sheep don't think about that much, do they? They live their lives grazing, looking for their next meal, aimlessly wandering through their lives. As you know, that's why they get separated so easily. How many people are aimlessly wandering right now? Not critically thinking about anything, completely oblivious to the things that are going on around us. And in fact, most people can't think for themselves. They are guided by influencers. They are guided by their favorite celebrities. They are guided by one news source that they think is always right. Perhaps they're guided by their friends' opinions that are closest to them. There are so many opinions out there, very little critical thinking, very little care for the actual facts. Of course, at this point, even the facts are arguable to some. Many have spent the several last weeks idle, which gives them more time to argue their opinions and to insult strangers online that disagree with them. Do you and I fall into those traps like sheep do? We'll go over to Isaiah 53. Read verses 6 and 7 of Isaiah 53. And all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Like sheep, we need a shepherd. Our shepherd was led like a lamb to the slaughter for us. As a mindless sheep is sheared without pain to them, he took an excruciatingly painful beating for us silently. With the power of a mere thought to stop it, if he really wanted. Why? Go over to Matthew chapter 9. Start in verse 35. This is Matthew 9 and verse 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. For God and Christ's love and compassion for us, because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Why else did they do this? I'll just read to you Luke 12:32. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Let's be sheep that respond to the shepherd's voice. Let's be thankful that we have a shepherd in a world where people are aimlessly grazing about, aimlessly falling into pits, aimlessly living an entire life of distraction, of wandering, of danger, of sin, of misery, and of death. If you turn over to Psalm 79, Psalm 79, here in verse 13. So we, your people, and sheep of your pasture, will give you thanks forever. We will show forth your praise to all generations. Are you and I truly thankful for the shepherd's voice? Are we following the shepherd? Lesson or thought number two. Appreciate what others can do. I found that I cannot do what Liz does. All day, every day, kids everywhere, whining, fighting, asking, complaining, destroying, eating, eating again, eating again, eating again, and eating again. I didn't understand why before she would work so late into the night to have the kitchen clean. I've often said, why not do that tomorrow? I now understand that it's for that first moment when you walk out in the morning and you see a clean and peaceful kitchen, only for a moment before it's continually destroyed for the rest of the day. Let's go over to Romans chapter 12. Excuse me. Romans 12, we'll be reading verses 6 to 8 here. It says Romans 12, starting in verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. I can't do what my wife does. She probably couldn't put up with all that I do at work. In fact, I know she couldn't. She's too nice to do what I have to do. I couldn't do what my dad does. I don't have the drive to learn that technical background. I couldn't do what Mr. Rehor does. I don't have his breadth of knowledge and his stomach for risk. And we all know that I couldn't be a pastor, and I hear you agreeing with me right now. So what are important or not important jobs? Is it how much money you make? Is it how many people you're in charge of? Is it your status in the community? Our society looks down on stay-at-home mothers or parents as if they are underachieving. I couldn't do it. I'm not equipped for it. Raising children is one of the most important things we do in this life. We're potentially adding members to the family of God. Now, if you truly believe that becoming part of God's family is your biggest goal in this life, what bigger job is there? What more important job is there than raising children to do the same? Now, there are circumstances certainly where that's not possible. My intent is not to belittle you in any form or fashion if that's your situation. Don't get me wrong there, please. But having firsthand, all day, every day, seeing what it's like to observe an engaged, cooking, cleaning, teaching, comforting, loving mother all day, every day convinces me that I couldn't do it. Of course, I can't be a mother, but you know what I mean. Society wants to blur the lines between male and female and whatever perverse thing they try to falsely define in between. God had obvious reasons why he made man and woman the way they are and why he made us for each other. How he made the different personalities and skills that fit together. We'll go over to 1 Corinthians 12. Mr. Taylor touched on this in his sermon from headquarters a couple weeks ago about the quilts being made up of different types of brethren. First Corinthians 12, he read later verses, I believe. I'll read here starting in verse 4. 1 Corinthians 12 in verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gift of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. I can't do what Liz does. I can't imagine someone raising 6 children, even though I was there while it happened. I can't do what some of you out there watching do. And I'm okay with that. More importantly, God's okay with that. The same God who works all things in all through a diversity of activities. So point number 2 is appreciate what others do. And happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. Lesson or thought number three. The world is an illusion. This one won't come as any surprise either. None of these are groundbreaking thoughts. Society and the real world around us can come crashing down at the drop of a hat. From an economy that was supposedly the best the world has ever seen, to chaos in a matter of a couple weeks. What happened? What is the real world, as most people define it? What is real life? Is it the American stock market? It is for many. Money drives everything. Money drives motives, actions, pursuits. Money drives nations to take certain actions. Or is what is around us a carefully constructed lie? Those in Louisville probably recognize I've used a bit of this material before, but it fit. The bank that you have your money at is bankrupt. It was goldsmiths in London almost 400 years ago that came up with this idea. At the time, people deposited their savings, gold or silver coins mostly, with these goldsmiths who charged the depositor a fee for protecting the coins for them. But the goldsmiths over time noticed that people did not all come to pick up their money at the same time. As people needed money for things at different times, there were always some coins that stayed with the goldsmiths, even though they were owed to the real owners, the people who were paying them the fees. The clever goldsmiths had an interesting idea. Why don't they loan that money out instead of holding on to it? That way, as the loan was repaid, the goldsmiths could keep the difference between what they owed the actual owner of those gold and silver coins and what the loan of those uncollected gold and silver coins paid in interest. And it worked quite well, and this little bit of greed is the birth of our modern banking systems. It literally is the exact same thing today. Typical banks will make their money by paying depositors less interest than what the bankers are loaning out of that money to other parties, and the bank keeps the difference, makes the profit. But if everyone at the bank wants their money back at the same time, it's called a crisis of confidence, which I think it's fair to say we've had lately in some ways. But no typical bank has enough money for everyone, as it cannot bring back the money it loaned out instantaneously to pay everyone back. So the bank closes, and this process is called a run on a bank. The bank holding your money is bankrupt. The economy sustaining the nation can quickly and suddenly falter. Information and misinformation can easily and violently shake the foundations of what people consider real life in this world. This world's master deceiver and marketer appeals to the carnal nature and has been doing so for mankind since the very beginning. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're in 1 Corinthians. We'll flip over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 13. Second Corinthians 11 and verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. God has given us a remarkably elegant and simplistic behavioral code to follow. Love God and love your neighbor. But Satan, as we just read, is skilled at taking elements of good and evil to fashion a highly complex and relativistic world that looks alluring. Likewise, Satan has a myriad of unknowing agents that are working for him. There are many religions and denominations that do fantastic charitable works, and they appear good, but their belief system is flawed, as they do not realize that their customs and practices are often in contradiction to what the Scripture actually says. A combination of truth and fiction never produces pure truth, just like a combination of good and evil does not produce good. We'll continue on here in this chapter in verse 13. Actually, I already read that, so I should have earlier. I'm sorry. I mixed those scriptures up. Let's go back and read verse 3 of this chapter, 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 3. But I fear, lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Sorry about that. Made more sense the other way. But like modern banking, the modern world seems safe, at least here in America, at least 2 months ago. Troubling things are happening, both in this country and overseas. Being confined to your own probably large house is nothing like the trials our brethren in Africa go through daily. All of us are going to have something for dinner tonight and sleep in our houses, with a roof over our heads, no rain pouring in on us. Our worlds seem secure. It's all too easy to become complacent with it. Modern banking is an illusion. The modern world is an illusion. Take comfort that you have been granted the precious knowledge of God's plan for us. The simplicity that is in Jesus Christ and the pursuit of the tree of life. Lesson number 4, this is the final one. We must be practicing God's way now. We've heard from a few, in headquarters especially, that they haven't been able to get a haircut. Or they get brave and let their spouse have a go at it. For those of you who don't know me well, I'm super cheap. I've been practicing cutting my own hair for a decade now for no reason other than I'm cheap. I'm not saying that I'm good at it at this point. My motivation, though, wasn't ready to be for a pandemic. It was to save money on something that isn't that big of a deal to me. If I can save 15 or 20 bucks once or twice a month over the last 10, 12 years, that makes a big difference. But not being able to get a haircut was a non-factor for me personally because I've been practicing doing it for so long. When the time came, I was able to do it and others weren't. And you know that's a really simple and a perhaps silly example when it comes to the importance of spiritual life, but think about the principle that's behind it. Are we actually practicing the skills that we'll need, the traits that we'll need, when things do really get tough? When the actual tough times come, will we be ready? Perhaps for you, financially, the tough times are now, at least by American standards. Most of us in this country don't have a clue what a real financial struggle is. Perhaps for you, emotionally, the tough times are now. I understand that that can affect every aspect of your being, if that is the case for you. But for most of us, we've got it pretty good right now with God's blessings. What modern comforts are you and I so used to that we will struggle to do without when the time comes? Let's go over to the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5. Now, you've probably read through the fruits of the Spirit 1,000 times. This time, let's look at it through the lens of how you have responded to being quarantined. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Has your response to this situation of quarantine displayed your love? Displayed your joy? What about your long-suffering? What about your self-control? Are we practicing now the fruits of the Spirit? In your response to being quarantined, are you practicing those traits that God desires most? Am I doing that? It's not what I see in the world around me. Are you and I being lights to the world? Times like these, when things get a little tougher. It may not be now, but eventually, times will get far worse. We won't suddenly start displaying the fruits of the spirits then if we aren't practicing now. You won't know how to cut your own hair or to trim your own lamp to truly display goodness, peace, or faithfulness when the time comes. Go over to Jeremiah 29 for my final scripture. Reading verse 11 in Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. You're probably sick of being in quarantine. Even an introvert like me has now had enough. Let's follow the shepherd. Let's appreciate what others do around us. Let's understand that this life is a facade and seek the simplicity in God's way. Let's be practicing those traits that God wants to see in us. Hope to see you all soon.